Well, this week, our minds and our hearts are especially focused on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. On Friday, many of us will gather with other believers to reflect and remember Jesus' death on the cross. And then on Sunday, we'll regather with some of those same friends and family to celebrate and commemorate his resurrection from the grave. So it's a big deal. It's a holy week. It's an important time. But you know, the epic events of Easter weekend are not just something we're supposed to think about once a year, right? The New Testament makes the death and resurrection of Jesus the basis for every good thing that happens to us in life and in eternity. So we should be thinking about it all the time. In fact, the more we come to understand just what happened on the cross and through the empty grave, the more we'll start boasting in the cross. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. When his eyes were opened spiritually and he saw what actually transpired on the cross and how it impacted him, he began to boast in the cross. And when that happened, something amazing began to happen inside of him. It actually made some epic life-changing situations change inside of Paul. Like, he became a different person when he started boasting in the cross. So this morning, I'd like to take you to the passage where he talks about boasting in the cross and show you how doing that changed him. Here's my hope, that you'll see how boasting in the cross can change you and change me, how what happened to Paul can happen to us. So today I want to talk to you about boasting in the cross and how it makes a difference in our lives. And to do that, I'm going to invite you to go with me to the book of Galatians today. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be in chapter 6, verse 14. I want to talk to you about boasting in the cross of Christ and the amazing changes that it can bring in lives of those who do this. I know we prayed. Let me pray for our time in the scriptures, and then we'll look at it. Father, on this Holy Week, as we get ready to remember and reflect on what happened on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, I pray that the lasting eternal realities that transpired on those days that still wash over us today, I pray that those realities would loom large in our thinking and become clearer in our understandings so that we might boast in the cross of Christ and see that change happen in our lives as it did for Paul. So I pray this because I believe it would glorify you and it would bless your people. And I ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Listen as I read Galatians 6:14. This is the verse where Paul talks about boasting in the cross of Christ. He says, "But far be it from me, far be it from me, may it never be, may genoitoi." It's that strong, like never happen. "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." So Paul says, I'm going to be boasting in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now boasting, that, to be honest, boasting doesn't get a lot of good press in our circles, right? We don't think that's a really good thing to do, to go around boasting. And Paul says, I'm going to boast in one thing. I'm going to boast in the cross of Christ. What does it mean to boast in something? Well, you know, it means to take pride in it. It means to glory in it. It means to find your significance in it. It's something that is to be celebrated because it leaves you feeling elevated. And Paul says, I got one thing that I'm going to boast in. It's the cross of Christ. What I want to do this morning is walk you through that verse kind of bit by bit and show you three important insights about boasting in the cross of Christ. And the last one is going to be one that shows how it should change us. So let me show you three things about boasting in the cross of Christ that come from this one verse. Here's the first thing. Paul's going to tell us right off the bat that boasting in the cross of Christ is our only good reason for boasting. Right? That's the point he makes. It's my only good reason for boasting. I got one thing that I can boast about, he says, and that's the cross of Christ. Boasting in the cross of Christ is our only good reason for boasting. Because Paul says in verse 14, far be it from me to boast. And then he says, well, except. Except. I got one little, there's an asterisk here. There's one little thing that I will boast in because it's one big thing. I will boast in the cross of Christ as my only good reason for boasting. Now, that's important because, to be honest, we humans tend to boast in a bunch of other things. You do it, I do it, most people do it. We boast in things, we glory in things, we take pride in things. In fact, get this, this is even a problem for people in ministry. People in ministry can boast in a bunch of things. In fact, in our passage, the people that are boasting in something else are ministry people. They're religious leaders. If you go back and see the context, if you read verses 12 and 13, you get a bit of the backstory and you see people who are boasting in something else. Look at it. Look at verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now catch verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may, here it is, they may boast in your flesh. Think, what's going on here? Well, here's the backstory. There were some religious leaders, Judaizers, who came into Galatia and to the church, and they began to tell the Gentile Christians, so these are Gentile pagan Christians, they tell them, you know, it's good that you've trusted in Jesus. It's not really good enough. You really need to come under the Mosaic law because that was given to God's people and you need to do that. And the sign that you have come under the Mosaic law is that you men will get circumcised. So they were trying to compel Gentile men who had come Christians to get circumcised so that they, verse 13 says, could boast in your flesh. What does that mean? I think it means this. They could boast that they were having ministry influence and impact over the Galatians. They could go around and say, man, our ministry is flourishing. Let me tell you about the number of people that are doing what we say, that are getting circumcised to show they're under the law of Moses. They could boast in the flesh as if somehow this ministry they had was expanding and getting significant, and they would boast in that. Paul hears that and he goes, I don't go down that trail. I'm not playing that game. I'm not boasting in anything like that. I don't boast in what I can do. He says, I only boast in one thing. That's what he says in verse 14. Far be it from me to boast in anything, really, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's why that's important for people like you and me. A lot of us are involved in serving the Lord in some capacity. We're involved in ministry settings. Some of us are staff here. We're on the staff or faculty at Heritage. Some of you involved in ministries. You will be this summer. And there is a temptation that's very, very prevalent for us to find our significance in our success in ministry. Like if God somehow uses us and we have some influence and we have some impact, that can be like those Judaizers, what we walk around and say, this is what I feel good about. And we may not do that out loud, but we can do that inside. We may not do that overtly, but we can do it covertly. We can celebrate. We can feel elevated by ministry success. And we can start to boast in what we do for Christ in ministry rather than what Christ did for us on the cross. We can start to boast in our success, if there is any, rather than in his sacrifice. We can start to boast in our accomplishments rather than what he accomplished. And Paul says, I don't go down that way. I'm not playing that game. I will not boast. They're boasting in your flesh. They're boasting in their influence over you. I don't do that. I boast in one thing, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's making a very important statement. Boasting in the cross of Christ is our only good reason for boasting. Hang on to that thought, and I'll tie it up as we get to the end. But there's a second thing that I want you to see that comes out in the little phrase, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second insight Paul gives us. Not only is it true that boasting in the cross is our only good reason for boasting, but secondly, boasting in the cross only makes sense to Christians. Boasting in the cross of Christ, if you're going to do this, it only makes sense if you're a Christian. Otherwise, it makes no sense. It is nonsense. Boasting in the cross of Christ only makes sense to those of us who are Christians. I say that because Paul says something that to us doesn't sound that outlandish. If you've been a Christian for a while, you hear that and you go, well, of course, you boast in the cross of Christ. But you need to understand that in Paul's cultural context, that seemed like a crazy-making statement. to say, I boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would seem ludicrous. That would seem nonsensical. Take the Gentile people around him in Galatia. If they heard that Paul was boasting in the cross of Christ, they would think, what is with that? See, for the Gentiles, the cross was a shame, an ignominy. It was a disgrace. If somebody was put on a cross, the Romans knew, the Greeks knew, they were being cursed by the state. The cross was reserved for the worst of the worst, right? It was not just a small punishment. It was their ultimate punishment. So if you got put on a cross, you had done something terrible. You were cursed by the state. In fact, there was a Roman poet named Cicero who wrote these words, "Not only let the cross be absent from the person of a Roman citizen, but let it be absent from his very thoughts, eyes, and ears." Cicero saying, we don't even want to think about the cross. We don't want to hear about the cross. It's a shame. In fact, the Latin word for cross is crux, which is part of our word excruciating, but crux was the Latin word. I'm told that in polite society, you didn't say that word. It was a bit of almost a word that people would say, you don't say that. They had a euphemism. They talked about the unlucky tree. And that was kind of a way to talk about the cross. If you had to talk about it, you just said, well, the unlucky tree. And everybody knew what you were saying because they didn't want to hear you actually say the word cross, crux. It felt to them shameful. So here comes Paul and he says, I boast in the cross. It would sound to them like it would sound to us if somebody came up to you and said, I boast in beheadings. We'd kind of say, that is sick. You don't boast in beheadings. But Paul says, I boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Gentiles would think that's crazy making. But get this, the Jews would think that it was also a crazy making statement. Because if the Gentiles saw the cross as a sign you were cursed by the state, get this, the Jews saw the cross as a sign you were cursed by God. Like if you ended up on a cross, you were cursed by God. I know that because in Deuteronomy chapter 21, listen to Deuteronomy 21 verses 22 and 23. Listen to these words. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain on the tree all night, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. So in Jewish thinking, if you ended up being hung on a tree, crucified, you weren't just cursed by human authorities, you were cursed by God. So here comes Paul, and he says, I'm boasting in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It made no sense to Gentiles, it made no sense to Jews. It only makes sense to Christians. By the way, Paul is, just to be clear, Paul's not boasting in any cross or every cross. And he's not boasting in crucifixion as a form of death. He's boasting in one cross, right? That's what he says in verse 14. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, actually, there's one cross that I boast in. I only boast. He's not into something grim and gruesome. He doesn't take pleasure in punishment. He says, I got one cross that I boast in. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that cross has significant that no other cross ever did. In fact, that cross has something to do with the curse of God. The Jews were right. If you were hung on a tree, you were cursed by God. Paul says that's part of what was happening on the cross. If you go back to chapter 3 of Galatians, look at chapter 3 and verse 10. I need you to think carefully here and follow Paul's train of thought, and it will kind of explode and you'll see it, what he's saying. But in verse 10, he writes this, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them. So did you get that? Paul is saying that the law says this, you got to keep all the laws of God. And if you don't, you're under a curse because it's written, cursed is everyone who doesn't do all the things written in the law. Now here's a question for you. Have you done all the things written in the law? Perfectly, consistently, continually? And you say, no, I haven't. There's many of those laws that I've broken. There's many of those laws you've broken. Well, Paul is saying, the Bible says, cursed is everyone who breaks the law. And that means you. So you're under a curse of God. And then you come down to chapter 3, verse 13, and he tells you this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. That's where he quotes from Deuteronomy 21. So Paul says this, everyone who breaks the law is cursed by God. Jesus comes and says, I'll take your curse. And he went to the tree, and he hung on the tree, and he was, in a sense, cursed by God for all the sins that you did, and all the sins that I've done, and all the sins of the whole world. And Paul saw that. He took my curse. That's why we talk about the cross being legal substitutionary atonement. He substituted himself for you. You should have been on the cross. I should have been on the cross. But Jesus said, I will take your place. And as a result, verse 14 of chapter 3 tells you what happened. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Because Jesus took your curse, now he gives you his Spirit. He gives you the life of the new covenant. And Paul said, I see it. I see what happened on the cross. He took my curse and gave me his life. And that's why I boast in one cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It only makes sense if you're a Christian. In fact, one of the marks that would help you know that you've come to true faith in Christ, that you've become a Christian, is if you get that and you glory in the cross of Christ. Like when that becomes precious to you, when that becomes dear to you, because that's an evidence that, like Paul, you've come to understand by grace what happened on the cross. Jesus took your curse on himself. He stood in your place. And when you get that, then you say like Paul did in chapter 2, verse 20. Look at chapter 2, verse 20, maybe one of the most famous verses in the whole book. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We say, Paul, are you kind of focused on yourself, saying that Jesus died for you and he gave himself for you? Shouldn't you say, who loved us and gave himself for us? And Paul would say, of course I could say that. Of course I could say he's the propitiation for our sins. He could echo what John said, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Of course I could say that. But Paul would tell you this, but he also did it for me. He loved me. God so loved the world, that is true. But God so loved Paul, the sinner, the blasphemer, that's true as well. And when someone becomes a Christian, what happens is they begin to see that Jesus just didn't die for the sins of the world. He died for their sins. He died for your sins. And when that explodes in you, that he did that for you, suddenly you say, I boast in that. That made all the difference. It made all the difference for me now. It makes all the difference for me for eternity. One of the marks that you're a Christian is that you boast in the cross because you realize every good thing that comes to you in life and eternity happens because of the cross. And so you glory in that. You boast in that. See, boasting in the cross is our only good reason for boasting. And boasting in the cross only makes sense for Christians. And when you start to do this, when you start boasting in the cross, glorying in the cross, something happens inside of you. It did for Paul. Something changes. It did for Paul. It can happen for you. Look back at our verse, chapter 6, verse 14. Look at the back half, and I'll show you the third important insight. Paul says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. By which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Hey, here's the third insight I want you to see. Boasting in the cross. Boasting in the cross crucifies all our other boasting. This is what will happen when you start boasting in the cross, when this makes sense to you. It starts to put to death all the other things you used to boast about. Boasting in the cross crucifies all of our other boastings. That's what it did for Paul. He says there in verse 14, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I boast in the cross because by that death, something lethal happened in my relationship with the world. What's the world? Well, the world is the way the world looks at life. The world is the worldview of people around you. And Paul said, when I started to understand what happened in Christ, I died to that. See, the world says to you, what you boast in is who you are, what you do, what you accomplish. You figure out what you're good at, you do that, and then you strut around a little bit and you tell people, this is me. It's amazing when you watch an athletic event and you see one of the players, say it's a pro football game, you see, or a hockey game, you see one of the players do something outstanding. What do they tend to do? They tend to look up at the crowds and go like this. Like, bring it on. You're right. I'm awesome. And I just showed you that. And that world says, well, that's what they should do because they did something awesome. They boast in themselves because they earned it. And Paul said, that's how I used to live. I used to live, I boast in what I accomplished. In fact, if you go back to chapter 1 in Galatians, you find out that Paul says, I used to be this ambitious, hard-driving guy trying to make it in a ministry life. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Paul says, you know what I was? I was a rising star. Like I was outpacing my mates, the other people that were like me. That's what he says. I was rising, advancing beyond many of my own age. I was going to make a name for myself. I was going to be somebody who had influence and impact. I was going to be somebody that people talked about. And then the cross hit me. And I began to boast in the cross, and I died to that. Like that no longer is what I live for. I don't live for the applause of people anymore. I don't live to be on somebody's status list. I don't live to be on the front cover of some newspaper, or I don't live to be the talk of the town. I don't live for that anymore. The world, the way the world does things, like I died to that, and it died to me. I got a new way of looking. Maybe I could illustrate it this way. The world tells you, and young men and women, the world is going to tell you, and even sometimes, sadly, ministry will tell you this. If you're good at this, if you work hard at this, you'll accomplish something that will give you a sense of significance. And it's like the world says that in business, the world says that in academia, the world says that in all these arenas, and sometimes we get molded into that same thing in ministry. And it's like we're all playing for Monopoly money. You do something good and they give you some Monopoly money. And you think, wow, look at all this Monopoly money I'm getting. I got more Monopoly money than that guy. I got more props than that girl. And suddenly we get all this Monopoly money and we start to feel good about ourselves. And Paul said, I used to do that. I had all this Monopoly money. I was at the front. And then I began to understand the cross of Christ and what he did. And it was like Christ came in and said, let me offer you an inheritance of real money. Billions of dollars. I'll give you more than you could ever imagine. And he offered me that. And suddenly all the Monopoly money in my hand, it just seemed like nothing. Like who's going to live for this anymore when you could have the inheritance that Jesus gives? So Paul says, I've kind of died to the way the world does business. I'm not going to live for that anymore because I got something better. And it's all about what Christ did on the cross for me. He loved me. He's given me life. He's given me his spirit. That's what I boasted. Paul, what makes you significant? Is it the fact you're an apostle? Is it a fact you write books that are going to be in the Bible? Is it a fact you planted all these churches? Paul would say, I'm joyfully happy that God let me do that, but that's not what I boast in. Won't boast in anything. Well, I'll boast in one thing. I'll boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's killed all my other reasons for boasting. I want to speak to those of you who are just starting out on your ministry life right now. If you can understand this now, it's going to save you a lot of grief later. If you can understand that if you chase success so that you can be significant, you're going to spend your lifetime chasing your tail and you'll never catch it. But if you come to the rooted place where you understand that your significance is found in that God loved you so much that Jesus died for you and took your curse on himself, it's going to free you. And then you're going to serve him because you say, you've given me all that, then I give you my life. I boast in the cross of Christ, and now I give you. You'll still serve. You'll still work hard. By God's grace, you'll still accomplish things. God will use you in ways that are amazing. I hope all of that is true. But that is not what makes you significant. What makes you significant is one thing. The God of the universe loved you enough to send his son to take your curse so he could give you his life. And nothing can take that away from you once you receive it by grace through faith. Isaac Watts was a hymn writer who understood that. We sing his song sometimes, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died." Remember what comes next? "My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." All the things I would strut around in, now they seem small and passing. Second verse says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast." That's what Isaac wrote. Lord, don't let me boast in anything else, only in the cross of Jesus. This morning we sang "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," and I love the last verse of that song. "I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection." My brothers and sisters, if you, like Paul, come to the place where you see that as the only good reason for boasting, and you center your life in that, and you receive that, it'll do something amazing in you. It'll free you up. You won't live chasing the world's monopoly money. You'll chase the Lord's glory out of love for the one who gave his life for you. Boasting in the cross of Christ kills all other reasons for boasting. Heavenly Father, I pray that on this holy week, when we remember the death of your Son, the Lord Jesus, I pray that the epic reality of that would be allowed to come into our hearts and minds and grow larger in us. We already know it's the biggest event in the history of the world, his death and resurrection. But let it be bigger in our own understanding. Let it be bigger in our affections. Let it be bigger in our attention. Let it satisfy our souls in ways nothing else can, so that we be men and women who boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this because I believe it will honor you and honor your Son. In his name, amen. Amen.